SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, top of hour three. We'll talk to Danny Gargan in about 10 minutes and Bob Baffert after that. We are going to do a little game builder recap. And, of course, what is this, week three? Is it week three of game builder or four? I'm losing track here already. We're barely into February, and so we started. So one, two, that was the fourth week, and I think we've hit three times. Nick, good morning.
At about 2:30 on Wednesday.
Nick's doing some regular work. We'll get Nick in here and hit with the backup. That's 2 weeks in a row with the backup, and I guess we've hit three straight. I think. Casey will pick up Nick, and as soon as he's ready, we'll know. Speaking of, let me slip in a note. I saw over the weekend. Did you see the Colby Hernandez won his 2,000th race, which I thought was notable. I don't know why I thought that was a surprise to me, but 2,000 wins for Colby Hernandez. Well done. Nick is there, and Nick, I was just speculating. What was this, week three or week four?
This was week four. So yeah, we're pretty far into it,
and we've hit the three times with this, and again a backup, and it just shows the value of being in a position to salvage something under the conditions.
Exactly right. It was a situation where the 2A opinions came in, and even though the goal, I think, was to beat Call Paul in the second leg if possible, and did not happen, but got us alive to at least a few options, a couple of which were not very appealing returns, but did give us the opportunity to have a horse like Harvey Wallbanger. So it worked out in that respect, and yeah, made a little profit. Third week in a row we made a little profit, so doing all right.
Just kind of grinding it out. And a key question, I think, more so than even understanding that, as you said, if the pace collapses, there's a chance that a Garter and Tie or a Harvey Wallbanger could pick up the pieces. So that's why you've got them as a C. But the better question is, even if Mijos or Maximus Mischief, if the 3A opinions, and even at $5 for the favorite and $7.50 for Mijos, it was still a meager return. It was paying, I think, $4.80, I think, to Maximus Mischief. And so even having it, 10 times was still going to be a loss. How do we rectify that, or what's the suggestion on that reality if things chalk out?
Well, we were playing it in a way to beat Call Paul, and so the Call Paul winning was basically going to get us back, hopefully a shot at a slight profit, and it didn't work out that way because feedback was so overwhelmingly favored, and that was, of course, the doomsday scenario, and it played out that way. So not much you can do to avoid that, I guess, on the front end, other than to say, hey, you know what, we're going to make a slightly smaller play, we're going to throw out Call Paul altogether, or we won't even use him as a backup. If he wins, we lose. But I didn't have an anti-Call Paul opinion, so that was that was kind of the tricky part. So that's, I think, what you kind of have to gauge with these things, and that's why using both A's and backups, you can have a little bit of a varied opinion, in the sense that things can mix and match a tad, and you end up hitting, even though this was not a sequence where you were ever going to get filthy rich. It was obviously going to take a horse like Topper T or somebody in Seismic Jolt in the Swale to really juice up the payoff. So it was a way of just kind of surviving the whole thing, and I think, but as we kind of hone our approach to determining who are A's, who are backups, and how we're going to structure the tickets with or without B's, with double B tickets, so on and so forth, we can minimize the amount of bankroll investment and maximize the potential returns on some of those good opinions coming in.
Well, you know, the reality in the swale, it was actually Zenden, and the fact that, you know, Zenden ran a very good race at 8-1, and somehow if he prevails, if Carl Paul, who really off the turn, you could see Errázuriz Ortiz was you know, sitting in a great position, and you could tell that he knew he had horse and was going to, you know, cruise on up and buy. But if Zenden prevails, he's an $18 winner.
Exactly. And I would say also, right. And the other part of it was, I thought Topper T got a bad ride. You know, I know that it probably didn't make a difference. He was probably going to be no better than second in any case. But the rush up along the inside down the backstretch just completely defeated the purpose of the cutback. And maybe he's a horse that's got a little bit too much speed to really effectively cut back. But, I mean, I really didn't think Javier Castellano gave him a fair shot in doing that. He's not going to beat Carl Paul in that kind of scenario, with Carl Paul getting such an ideal setup and trip. But, yeah, there were a couple little things that could have happened that could have adjusted those results a tad, and maybe, you know, made it so that there was a little bit more meat on the bone in terms of the overall payoff. I think it, you know, would have been double if I had used Harvey Wallbanger as a B instead of a C, and I think we didn't really know exactly how to approach that in terms of whether Maximus Mischief was, you know, much better than everybody. I guess the pitfall of the wager, and I'll certainly admit when there are shortcomings, is that the main opinion was Feedback and Mijos with one of the A's in the middle, and that wasn't even going to get us a profit. So it was not a well-constructed wager or series, but that, you know, to get out of it with a little bit of a profit is great, and hopefully some people were able to take that A and C matrix, apply it to a pick five or a pick four, which did both pay pretty well when you threw in a horse like Soldado, who was doing good on the workout report, and obviously is a firster from Todd Pletcher, and then you had that ridiculous 15-1 morning line horse that would get jogged at 9-5 in the first leg of the pick five. If we could help you use that, you know, that matrix in the middle three legs, then, you know, maybe you were able to hit that thing, which was huge value at 2,200 and change.
Well, you hit the pick five.
I did. Yeah, it was. I didn't really bet terribly much either. Used our matrix and used a couple of A's in the first leg and three A's in the last leg, and, you know, hit that all A and one C ticket.
Well, and this is, you know, this is what the exercise is, and it's tough. I suppose at some point we will do the bigger, you know, the pick fours and the pick fives. It's a little bit, you know, I'm typing these up, and it's a little cumbersome, especially if there's changes. But we will absolutely get to a couple of larger sequences as well. You know, that last leg, Soldado, who Mike Welch pushed on listeners at the end of the show on Friday, you might have just heard the replay a couple of hours ago here, Soldado, just under 6-1, was a nice number.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what's actually, I was thinking about this last night, what's ruining three-year-old races right now at Gulfstream is that everybody is fearful that the next Hidden Scroll is going to debut for Bill Mott. And both of the three-year-old races late in the card on Saturday had Bill Mott firsters that looked like they had been training well at Payson. And, of course, we're completely blind as far as Payson workouts go. And those horses both took serious money. I don't really know if it was quote-unquote sharp money, but it was enough money to adjust the pool. And you saw a horse like Soldado drift up, not only because you had a Mott in there getting money, but you had a Chad Brown, a well-bred Chad Brown firster, a homebred for Judmont, and that just, you know, sucked up a ton of money. And here came Soldado with a really, really impressive performance. Those two fillies feel like they're very, very solid. Feedback, for that matter, I thought had a very nice comeback, and I think will be a good horse down the line. We'll eventually see how far she wants to go, but she's got a lot of speed, and if the issues that she faced after her debut are fixed, then I think you'll see her in races like the Devona Daleland or Ashland or something as a potential Oaks prep. Even though she may top out later in the year at about 7/8, she's still a pretty good one at this point.
Well, and in fact, all of the maiden races on Saturday at Gulfstream were won at nice numbers. The Rudy Brissett filly, Violencia, Chad ran second there with Palomita, who was even money. That six furlong race in the middle that featured a late, the late sibling Haunt, who ran okay. The horse that I played with was Jimmy Toner, and I thought that Fortune's Fool, and I thought there was a moment where he was gonna go right on by, but the horse of De La Cerda has just kept going. That Who's in Charge. 24-1. That was a $50 horse, and Toner was 16-1, and then there was Soldado, and Chad second there with Honest Mischief, the first defense sibling, who won't be a maiden for very long. So some notable maiden action as part of Saturday's fun action. Nick, I know you've got stuff to do. I'll let you go. I just wanted to do the Game Builder recap. Game Builder brought to you by the National HBPA, and I will see you Thursday in Las Vegas.
Sounds great, my man. Travel safe. I'll see you then.
You too. Congratulations. Another nice ticket. And I know quite a few people that came along, and many that listened that either got familiar with Harvey Wallbanger during the summer when we talked to Harold Lerner or watched him on TV. Let's take the break here. Perfect timing. And Danny Gargan is going to join us. And Danny is poised himself to move on the Derby trail with Tax. What a cool story this is, with some very familiar connections, including Randy Hill and Dean and Patty Reeves. Pretty neat. And this was a $50,000 claim. And we also got to talk to Danny a little bit about Divine Miss Gray, who really didn't get the attention that she deserved for a terrific campaign last year. I gave her a little nod by using that. I always use those, very frequently use the third slot in eclipse voting, and I'll give a little, you know, a little nod to a horse like her. And I did, in fact, make Miss Divine Gray my third older female this year. Goofy ass category. Back with Danny Gargan after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Rhythm is a dancer, it's a soul's companion. People feel it everywhere. Lift your hands and voices, free your mind and join us. You can feel it in the air.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes in, hour three, and the story evolving with the Arch Gelding tax, $50,000 claim away from Claiborne and Mrs. Dilschneider that turns around and hits the board in the Remsen and now wins the Withers and does it in nice style. Danny Gargan with his third graded stake winner to go with Divine Miss M, Divine Miss M, Divine Miss Gray, and our free roll, right?
Yes.
There you go. Danny Gargan, congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
Danny, this is a fun story, not the least of which, is a claimer, moving up and winning graded stakes and hitting the board in the Remsen, but Randy Hill and Dean and Patty Reeves and the partners, wonderful people involved, you as well, and talk about how this even got going, the identification of Tax as a claim prospect.
Well, I was watching the races at Churchill just because I look around for young horses. I primarily like Divine Miss Gray. They claimed her as a 3-year-old. So I kind of look around to find, young horses. I think you have a little more upswing when you take the two turning three types. And I was just watching the races because I handicap and bet. And he was a well-bred horse and a maiden 30. And I said, boy, he's an awful big horse. Big, good-looking horse. Went off 10-1, and I bet on him that day, and he ran second. I was like, boy, he's a nice-looking horse. He's bred to run long, probably turf. And so I put him in my stable mail, and then he popped up in at Kingland in a maiden 50, and I got on a plane and flew down there to claim him.
who was in? I mean, was anybody in at that point, or were you going to claim him and then put a group together?
Well, we were claiming him no matter what, but I had a small stable at Kingland for the first time this year. We just took a couple horses there and, to claim a few while we were there. And Hugh Lynch had money there, so we claimed it for Hugh.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
And then Quorum's Racing bought in 30 days later, and we ran him. I worked him. I was thinking he was probably going to be a grass horse. But one day I was freezing him here at Belmont, and he got stuck in behind a couple horses, about, 5 or 6 lengths in front of him. And he just grabbed the bridle, and he worked like a good horse. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And then that's when we decided the Remsen was coming up, a little bit of a light race. In my opinion, we're not light, but not a big field. And he was bred to run all day long, and he'd been two turns, and not a lot of young horses had been two turns at the time. And we decided to take a chance and supplement him and run him in the Remsen, and he probably should have been second that day. I told Manny to kind of go after the favorite. I thought if we could get in front of him on the, you know, in the, at some point, we could make him, you know, back up. But obviously, he kept running that day and ran big. And we got a little tired at the end, and Chad caught us right there at the wire. But I think if we'd, you know, my horse is probably as good as any of those at that point. I was thinking that after the race. And then the other day at Aqueduct, he didn't get the world's best trip, had a few things he had to overcome. But he's, you know, he's learning, and he's a big, strong horse, and he's the type of horse that's going to bounce around and be in those races. So I'm really proud of him.
He's got a very advantageous style because it seems like he can idle, save ground as he did on Saturday, and then has got some finish. And for Junior, who was getting on him the first time, what kind of, you know, what kind of instruction, what kind of discussion did you have?
Well, you know, we were lucky enough to, you know, get the inside post, which a mile and eighth at Aqueduct is a big, big edge. People don't like the one, but this horse had run in the one hole when he broke his maiden and he set second. So I told Junior, I said, he's going to break out of there running today. I said, just break out of there. And I said, there's, you know, obviously there was a horse that needed the lead. And I said, make him use herself a little bit to get over and then take back and sit in the pocket. I said, he'll run through, he'll run late. So just save ground and wait and make you know, make your move when you feel comfortable. And he got kind of down in there, and Junior said he, you know, he clipped heels a couple of times down the backside, or and then he had to check him once in the stretch. He said, and then when he popped through, he thought he was going to win real impressive. But then we got through, he was like, oh, where's everybody at? And he said, yeah, he thinks he's going to get better and better. He said, because he kind of was waiting on him at the end, he told me.
Unbelievable. Wow. Yeah. I mean, from a breeding, like you say, from a breeding standpoint, Arch out of the Giants Causeway mare and the nice female family. Pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah, the Grand Dam was one of my, yeah, Shook trained her. She won a grade one. I mean, it's an unbelievable pedigree. If he was, if he wasn't a gelding, he'd be worth $2 million today. But, oh, you know, and he ran a 96 buyer, and it was the biggest number of all the Derby preps so far this year. So I'm kind of happy with that. And the fact that he can keep, he can get the distance is going to be the deciding factor what we do. I'm considering just waiting and training up to the wood, and I'm considering running in the Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway because you need points, and so, and that's an option. Or we can maybe do the, you know, Louisiana Derby is an option too.
Well, that's way, whatever, you know, whatever is going to suit him stylistically. You got the long stretch at Fairgrounds, obviously. The Poly, you know, you. The Poly, I guess, you know, with that pedigree, there's no reason to think. As you mentioned, that when you first looked at him, you thought that he might be a turf type. So, you know, going into Turfway, and you certainly know your way around Turfway, that might not be so crazy. What? How many points? 20? Yeah, it's 28.
You get 20.
Two. Yeah. Yep.
So if you win that, you get 20. He already has 12. That gives you 32. That probably gets you in the Derby, 32.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... and then I wouldn't go straight from turf. I'd run him back in out of the bluegrass or the wood after that race. Or we'll train up to one of those races. And it's just the term, you know, he wasn't a big, big number the other day, and I wouldn't want to run him back and shorten him up and run him a mile. That's not going to happen in the Gotham. I don't think a mile is his best distance, and I don't want to back him up now that we have him going well at this distance. You know, he ran a 93 the first time, 96. It's kind of an improving horse, and it's one of those things where at least it's fun enough to talk about trying to figure out.
Absolutely, Danny. It, what kind of horse is he to be around?
He's a big, big boy. I mean, he's not mean. He's a real, real, real nice horse. He's playful. He's a gelding, so he's not stoutish or anything like that. So he's just kind of a big, cool boy. He just likes to hang out. He loves to be pat. He's just a little bit of a ham. He'll stand there in the front of the stall as long as you're around. He likes attention. He's, you know,
well,
he's a beautiful, beautiful animal. Well, you know, and even though we claimed him off Claiborne Farm, you know, he's a gelding. That's obviously why they ran him for a tag. You know, this horse was in great condition when we claimed him. His weight was perfect. He looked like $1 million. You know, they take great care of their horses. I just think we got lucky, and he wants to stretch out and maybe getting the Lasix helped a little bit, you know, getting the big number out of him. But he was in great shape. Looked like, I mean, he's as good-looking horse. The day we, you know, day we claimed him, he looked great. He's filling out and getting a little bigger and maturing, but you know, it's hard to find horses that's nice in claiming races. And I've been blessed and lucky to find, you know, two in the last couple of years to find two of them. So because of Divine Miss Gray was in great shape when we, you know, her, and she's the one, she's a graded stakes winner that we claimed for 16.
Well, that we're going to talk about her a little bit too, because she was somebody we didn't talk about enough during the calendar year last year. But what a season! You know, 10 starts, 5 wins, 3 seconds, 600,000, and you probably don't see these kinds of things, Danny. But I voted her third in the Eclipse voting.
Did you give her a nod?
Yeah, I did. I thought that given how strange the distaff grouping was, that she deserved at least a little acknowledgement for the campaign. She was great from start to finish. She, you know, she ran 10 times. How many, what are we going to, Unique Bella, not to take away from Unique Bella or from Abel Tasman, I'm sorry, but I don't get it. I couldn't do it. I voted for Blue Prize, Wowcat, and for Divine Miss Gray.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I mean, she started the year off a winner. She had an unfortunate break at Churchill in her last race, and it cost her the race. She stumbled a little bit and got stuck in behind horses, and it was a real rough trip, and she's not the type that really settles. But we brought her, you know, we're pleased with the year she had. I think she's made over 800,000 now. We're going to try to get her to the $1 million mark this year, which would be fun to, you know, have a filly get to the $1 million mark that you claimed for 16, which is pretty exciting. But Randy Hill owns a piece of her with Corms Racing, and she's just been a true warrior. She loves to show up. She loves to, you know, train. We put her back in training here a couple weeks ago. She had her first work last week, and she's doing phenomenal. And she really loves her work. She loves to come out and gallop every day. And we're looking to probably run her first week of March at Aqueduct. I think it's the Heavenly Prize, the name of the state.
Yeah.
She won it last year. So we'll probably start her campaign there. Most likely that's where she'll start out. And then after that race, I don't think we're going to win 5 out of 10 this year with her. Because we're going to go ahead and try a couple of the grade ones, you know, as the year goes on, and give her a chance to see if she can win a grade one. I think we ran her in one grade one last year, and she was third, and she ran a really, really good third that day, and she came out of it and won the Chalukya is grade two. So we'll give her a shot in a couple grade ones, and then later in the year, obviously our goal would be, you know, if she keeps going in the right direction, either the Chalukya again or, you know, knock on wood, if she improves, we can run them on the Breeders' Cups.
You know, and I'm just looking at last year, and that grade one, of course, was the Beldame behind, you know, you were behind Wowcat. And it's tricky with her because it looks like the two-turn races are just slightly... Well, not really. I mean, she's good. She's good one turning, and she's been good two turning. I can't say that she is better going a two turn short route. You know, mile and a 16th, two turns.
Yeah, I mean, she's never won that race. Actually, the mile and a 16th one turn. She's won the one turn mile, but she's won the mile and a 16th two turns.
Right.
I think if she gets in a good cruising speed and she gets the right setup, she's a type of horse that's tough to beat. The day we ran her in Wildcat, I think Wildcat should have won the Breeders' Cup. If she'd had a little better trip, I thought she was the best horse that day and should have won the race. And in my opinion, if you watch the race over and over, I think she was going to win the race if she got, you know, had just a little bit of a little more racing luck. And she's a really nice filly, really nice filly. And, you know, Chad obviously trains. He's the best trainer in the country. And he does a tremendous job. And, I think she's going to be the best filly this year. And she ran huge the day she just blew by us. But, you know, the setup wasn't, you know, we rated her that day. And she actually, Junior rode really good because he could get her to rate. And not many, you have to be a really strong rider to rate her. And obviously, he's really strong because she's tough to get in behind horses And if you move any, then she's going to run off with you. And he really rode her tremendous. And then we ran her back in the Chalukyan, and it was Breeders' Cup Day, and he wasn't there that day. He was riding, and then Manny got to ride her. And then I didn't know where I was going to run her after that. I double-entered her at Aqueduct and Churchill, and we opted for the Churchill race. And I think I did the right thing opting for the Churchill race. It just didn't work out for us to be second. But man, her year was tremendous, like you said, winning five.
Yep.
And there, she probably should have won six, maybe seven of them. She had a couple weird trips. She had a speed door once at Monmouth that was insane, cost her a race. And then the last race at Churchill, she broke bad and got stuck in behind horses, and that cost her a race there. But, you know, it's hard to find horses that really, really have a fight like her. And she's a well-bred filly, too. And she has a, you know, she's going to be a nice broodmare. She has a sister. It's a graded stakes placed horse and a stakes winner.
Well, in fact,
she comes from a really good farm. I've looked at some of them. I mean, they have beautiful, beautiful, but well-bred horses, too. And it's kind of hard to get, you know, being in the claiming ranks, it's hard to end up getting the kind of horses like this. But, you know, we're branching out and buying young horses now a little bit more, so the stable could get stronger, we're hoping. And maybe one day we'll get the right phone calls. It helps to train for Randy and Dean because, you know, and Hugh Lynch, he's new in the game, but he's going to end up with quite a few horses for it's over, hopefully. But, you know, Randy's been really good to me over the last 2 years, and he's a really fun guy to train for, and Dean's really, really nice person.
Well, Randy Hill's one of our favorite people. That's one of the fun boxes at Saratoga with you and Jim and George, and that's the center of the action. That's the epicenter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Randy's fun. He just likes to have a good time. He enjoys horse racing, and
yes, he does.
He loves to win, and he loves his horses, and he ran out on the track. He was the first one of the horse. He beat the groom to the horse. I got a picture of it. He made the horse stumble because he was scared of him for a second.
A lot of people feel like that when they see Randy coming running at you. It's not an unusual reaction.
Jock had to grab him up, and I was like, I thought he was going to hug the jockeys. He's coming back. But he enjoys the game. And I tell you, horse racing's blessed to have owners like this that really, you know, step up big and enjoy it. And he loves to bet. He loves to watch. He just wants to be at the races. And,
yes, he does.
Know, that's what it's all about. And there's, you know, it that's, you know, when owners show up and he doesn't want to miss a race. He'll get us a private jet to make a race. He doesn't care. He wants to go everywhere and be there. It's when he misses a race, he's upset about it. But it's fun. And Dean really enjoyed it. He would have been here at Aqueduct the other day, but he had a horse running in the swell with Kathy, and so he'd already committed to go to that race. But I don't think he'll miss the next one. I think he'll show up here wherever we go next. And he's a really, really classic gentleman.
They're wonderful people.
And I really wanted him to buy in on part of Divine Miss Gray, but he was going to, and then there was some circumstance, something happened. Randy ended up getting half of her to herself, and I'm really happy Dean got to get half of the, or a quarter of this horse. Really, really fun person to have around and, you know, build a relationship with. It can only help your future.
You know, you made me think about one thing about Divine Miss Gray, and part of last year there was the injury to Kendrick Carmouche, who was really on a roll and was edging himself, you know, into the, you know, the upper echelon among the New York Colony, Danny, and part of that success was coming on Divine Miss Gray, and Kendrick trying to work his way back, but he was a big part of you know, her moving from the allowance ranks into the stakes ranks.
Yeah, it was unfortunate what happened to Kendrick. I mean, a lot of people know he rides a majority of my horses ever since he, you know, both of us started in New York, and he came to New York, and I couldn't tell you how many races he's won for me in the last couple of years. It's a big number, though. We've had a lot of success. Kendrick's, I think, an amazing speed rider. He's a great, great, great rider. We're good friends. I just talked to him yesterday. He was one of the first people to text me as the horse won. He calls me, you know. We talk all the time. He's going to start breezing horses here in the next week. Hopefully we get him back to riding in sometime in March. Really miss having him around. He's an asset because he breezes my horses, and he gets a horse to break out of the gate like nobody I know. I mean, they just break great for him every time. And but he'll be back probably first week of March, I'm hoping. I actually called him the other day because Franco was supposed to ride a tax, and there were some late changes. And I knew a few weeks before, and I said, is there any way we can get you fit and get you over here ready to ride? And it just, he still got the injury, and he couldn't, you know, obviously we couldn't make that date. But when he comes back, he'll ride a, you know, he'll always ride a, you know, big part of my stable. And we just have a connection, and it works for us.
Well, Danny, this is a fun story, and excited for you and everybody involved in TAX, and looking forward to the next step, and looking forward to Miss Gray coming back. Continued success. Always fun to connect with you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Steve, and thanks for having me.
Not at all. Danny Gargan, everybody. And Danny really you know, had the period when he was working with Midwest, and now out, you know, taking on a variety of clients, and look at the, you know, a horse like this picks out for 50, graded stake placed the two, and now a graded stake winner, and 12 points toward Derby. Let's take a break, and you can follow Danny, I'll tell you, at Gargan Racing on Twitter, and we'll probably close out the morning with a Bob Baffert visit and get report on Mucho Gusto's win and Coliseum, who seems ready for reboot. Gonna run, I think, was it this week, I think, in the San Vicente? Yeah, Sunday, the San Vicente. And everything else that went on. McKenzie's, good second, and an exciting San Pascal. Bob Baffert on this Monday.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people. 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year. and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why brisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Just about 15 minutes to noon on this Monday, and peeking at the sale results, and you've got an early six-figure seller, Chicaboo. Remember Chicaboo? Chicaboo. It looks like she is heading to Japan. $300,000 for the cowbred daughter, and that was a Peter Urton. I remember Chicaboo. Chicaboo's a stake horse, right? Yeah, that's your top seller. And there's also a nice number on Class Included, another stakes mare, and she was $110,000. But that's a big early number, $300,000 for Chicaboo. How about that? And looking at some of the early yearlings, there's a Carpe Diem, that a West Virginia bred, $50,000. Yeah, that's the leading yearling. And how about here's a mare that is in foal to Mastery, a Bandini mare named Bandit, and $47,000. So, underway at Fasig Tipton, February, the last of the bloodstock sales. We turn our attention to two-year-old in training in no time at all, and Bob Baffert will swing into action to find two-year-olds for later in the year. Right now, he's got the three-year-olds rolling, and mucho gusto on the wet track on Saturday at Santa Anita. Bob, congratulations to you and Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, it was exciting to see these horses when they perform like they're supposed to. It's very gratifying. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, and he seems to be maximizing these opportunities. A lot of people wondered, you know, how far he's going to want to go long term. What were your thoughts? Of course, the racetrack came up pretty swampy. What were you feeling going in?
Well, you know, I wasn't worried about the track. It had a pretty good seal. It was fast. It had a good bottom to it. Sometimes it's better when it's like that, because it's a deeper surface this year. It's deep and loose usually when it's dry, and can, you know, they really have to, you know, work their way through it. But I felt good about it because when we bought him as a two-year-old, he worked at Timonium, and it was sort of that kind of a racetrack, like a wet, fast, sealed.
That's right.
He just worked unbelievable on it, so we knew he liked that kind of surface. But what I like most about it, Steve, is the fact that, you know, I told, you know, Talamo, we talked after the Los Alamitos Futurity, that if we're going to be able to, if we want to go further with this horse, you can't let him, you know, he can't be on the lead. You got to be able to get him to sit, relax, and don't get in a hurry with him. And teach him how to rate a little bit. And I thought this is the, you know, this is the day to teach him, because it's, you know, just keep him, you know, get away from there and just play it by ear. But I don't want him going out there, because everybody was playing, you know, speed was holding up, so we knew there was going to be some horses go out there. But I think he rode a really smart race, and he let those guys go, and he just sat there and just, and he idled, you know. That's what you want. You want a horse to idle in the middle of the race. He did, and he had so much left at the end, so it was a pretty impressive race. He looked a lot better.
Agreed, and I thought that was what was encouraging, especially considering how, you know, how everybody up to that point in the day, you know, if you were not up front, you were in trouble. And yet he cruised up to the leader, to that Magnificent McCool, you know, who's no, that's no doorknob, that nice little horse, Magnificent McCool. And he went right up to him and went right on by. I thought that was, and he finished. He really finished.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, Mr. Michael Lund, he just got, you know, new in the business, and he's learning the heartaches of the business, you know. And so he had Mike, we've had more spirit, who had some luck with and stuff, and he flew out here and watched his horse. So it's exciting, you know, to think about that. There's nothing like having a nice horse. So, and the horse has grown a lot. He's getting really tall. You know, he started to, I could see a big change in him, and he's growing. And so I'm pretty happy with him and my other 3-year-olds. They're all starting to come around. You know, this is when you want them to come around, and they start growing about this time of year.
We'll come back to the 3-year-olds, including the San Vicente coming up for Coliseum. Let's hit a couple of points from the weekend, though. McKenzie and Battle of Midway hook up, and they put on a good show.
Yeah, they ran hard. You know, we're in a bad spot there, you know, and I talked to Mike about it. If it would have been like a dry track, I think McKenzie really doesn't want to run like that. He doesn't want to be out there. You know, he ran like that. Every time he runs up showing speed or up close early, he doesn't finish. And he never got a chance to get in a nice groove. I think Pratt rode a great race with Battle Midway. He just kept us in there. And so we were like in a bad spot the whole way, in between horses. Just, you know, he never got a chance to take a breather, relax, get in his in his groove. And, you know, and so I was sort of disappointed. I thought he really couldn't lose that race. But, you know, Battle Midway, I think he's improving, ran a big race, and they ran fast. I mean, it was racehorse time, so you can't take that away from him. But I was happy with the effort. I think that, even Mike thought, you know, if I would have taken him back, then he still would have run second, because they would have just rode me the whole way. We have a short deal like that. But it's one of those things where you just, you just hope they come back. They come back. Good shape, which he did, and that's about it.
Yeah. What is the current plan? Is Dubai in the sights?
Oh, I don't know yet. I haven't even thought about it. You know, it depends what he did here. You know, I would like to see him. You know, you like want to see a win. You want to see something, but we'll see how he comes back and. You know, we got the big cap here,
right?
Or Dubai. So I just want to, you know, he's a horse that, you know, he's a light horse. You know, so I don't want to do anything to him. I want him sharp. If I can just keep like this, I think we're just trying to figure him out too right now. You know, trying to figure out his style. I think we learned a lot from the other day. I know Mike did. He came back and he said, "Man, I wish I hadn't have done that." But we were in a bad spot. The post. If he had the outside post, then we could have just tracked him the whole way, and I think he would have just exploded. But because that's the way he worked, that's the way we worked him.
Well, there's a long year ahead, and certainly no.
But you can't take away the winner. He was strong, you know. So he ran a big race. So he's a good horse.
Let's catch up on a couple of either frustrations or disappointments. Is Anouquette okay after yesterday?
Let's see, I got a loose horse coming towards improbable. He just went by. Jesus. Okay, we missed that. Your training, the training track.
Unbelievable.
They got about 500 horses on this training track right now. This weather has been just horrible. Man,
you got more rain today?
We got more rain today. It just, I mean, it won't stop here.
Unbelievable. Well,
I mean, if you're a farmer, you're a happy dude, but
that's not the business you're in. Did Anouket come back okay after the stumble yesterday, losing Drayden Van Dyke?
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah, she grabbed the cord really bad on that. You know, so unfortunately, that was just didn't go. It didn't go well, but you know, but she, other than that, she'll be all right. She'll heal up.
All right.
But we're going to miss a lot of time. It's just tough. Those races are hard to fill, and when that happens, I just get. She got in the gate. She was standing a little bit spread out, and every time they do that, they rake like that. So one of those things where you just, you know, those things happen. You can't really hard, you know.
No.
That's the first one I've had that happen. I can't remember ever happening to me here.
Dropping the jock out of the gate. A couple of performances from Thursday and Friday. Solomini, I thought that Friday was going to be the next step to get him, you know, get him back. I was a little.
Do we have to talk about Solomini?
We don't have to. What about Kingley from Thursday?
All right. You know, Kingley ran. He actually ran a decent race. You know, he looked like he was going to fall back at the 3/8 pole, like he was stopped, and then he made a little run though. So that was, you know, it was a positive race for him. And so, you know, first time going long, he got beat by a nice horse.
Yeah, and Samantha Siegel, nice for Samantha.
Yeah, so that horse ran well, so we'll just, you know, he's improving. He's going the right way. You know, second out. You know, when he broke his maiden at Del Mar, he got a little sick on me. I had a lot of horses get sick, and he's coming back. So, but you know, he's got a ways to go.
Let me ask you too about next week, the San Vicente on Sunday, and I saw the workout from the other day with Coliseum, and looked like he had the citation bit, the overcheck. Are you getting him under control?
I've tried everything on him, but we're slowly we're getting in there. You know, he's not leaving the gate very well. He didn't leave the gate well before we ran him, and then he left when he broke his mane. He broke well, but I liked the way the other day he sort of he didn't get ranked in the middle of the work, which was good. He just sat back. We're just trying to teach him to just contain that energy a little bit. And I think going 7/8, you know, they're fast. They'll get away from him, give him a chance to sort of move it up, you know, close. But I got another horse in there that's running this pretty nice. That Desmond broke his maiden.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be running in there. And I don't know who else. I think that Instagram, he could show up there maybe. I don't know.
I haven't seen an update from.
Out here. He's working there. They're getting him ready pretty quick, so he looks good out here. So you never know.
Well, and everything's okay. Game winner had a nice, easy 5/8 the other day, and you mentioned improbable. All systems go. Everything good.
Everything's good. You know, one worked too slow, and the other one worked too fast. You know, so that happens. But they're good. They came back good, so that's all that matters.
Well, I appreciate this, and nice for Mr. Peterson. Had the success with More Spirit, and looks like he's going to have more fun with Mucho Gusto, much to like. Bob, good luck this week. Good chance we'll talk next Monday.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye.
I appreciate it. Bob Baffert, and let him go take a look at Improbable, who was on the training track. I guess more rain there today. Unbelievable. Want to thank Bob and Danny Gargan, Ken McPeak, Nick and Johnny D, and Walter Blum Jr. joining us early. Don't call him. You can't call Michael Mike, and you can't call Walter, Walt, or Wally. Actually, who I think Louis Lazzanero, I think, calls him Wally. I think he's the only one that's allowed. It's Monday, and let's see. Let's see what we got here. I'll do a quick check. Running out of time on a Monday for your racing options. You've got Louisiana Downs, Mahoning Valley, Parks, Turf Paradise. So, four racetracks for your wagering pleasure. If you didn't get enough. If you didn't, did you? How many props did you hit in that Super Bowl? Every goofy prop possible came through. If you missed anything, replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. Or come to the website, stevebick.com, and catch the archive, and Casey will handle all that, podcast, etc. Good luck today, everybody, if you're playing. Back with you tomorrow, Andy Serling, probably Mark Cassie, Jerry Hollidorfer, and more at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.